Would you turn back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18? I've entitled this message, Biblical Submission. Now, I'd like to learn something about that, wouldn't you? Do I know what it is to submit to the Lord? What do I understand about submission? Biblical submission. I've been looking at this passage of Scripture for several weeks for wives, husbands, children, fathers, parents, servants, employers, employees, all the things he says in this passage of Scripture, but I couldn't get past this word submit. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The word fit is also translated in the New Testament, befitting, appropriate. It combines duty and appropriateness, this thing of wives submitting themselves to their own husbands. Now, if you brought this into the workplace with other women and said something about submitting to your husband, you would probably be berated or at least strongly disagreed with. The response would be something like this: a marriage is a partnership. To submit would be an admission of inferiority or a show of weakness. And that's the way submission is generally looked upon. Weakness. The weak person submits to the stronger person or the more powerful person. And it's not looked upon as a good thing, but a weak thing to submit. Now, while that is obviously what takes place when we submit ourselves to the Lord, He is all-powerful, and we are all weakness. And that's exactly what takes place when we submit ourselves to the Lord. But that doesn't really set forth biblical submission. And I want us to consider this concept from the Scriptures of biblical submission. Now, the Greek word is a compound of two words. Under and arrange are the two words combined to make this word submit. It's a military term which means to rank under, to be subject to, and to obey. Submission is subordination to authority. It's the opposite of insubordination. And on a human level, people who do not respect authority generally don't do very well in life, do they? I mean, if there's no authority in your home, there's going to be disrespect, there's going to be chaos, there's going to be all kinds of problems. If a child in school doesn't respect authority, they're going to do poorly. They're going to have the teachers mad at them. They're not going to do well in school. If someone is on the job and they have problems with authority, they're going to have problems. They're not going to do well. You know, one of the best things you can do as a parent is to teach your children to respect authority. Very, very important. I think it's interesting the way Paul, when he speaks of honoring your mother and father, which has something to do with the respect for authority, he says that it may be well with thee and that you may live your days long on the earth. It's the first commandment with promise. Someone who respects authority. I'm not even talking about necessarily a believer now. Someone who's taught to respect authority is going to succeed in life. They're going to do well on the job. They're going to have a good marriage. They're going to be good parents. They're going to be good kids. This is very important, this concept of respecting authority. Now, a wife's submission to her husband is a beautiful picture of what biblical submission is. Now, if a woman submits herself to her husband, she does it because she wants to. You see, there's no such thing as forced submission. If you're forced to submit, that's not submission. That's just doing what you're made to do. And there's no virtue in that at all. If a woman submits herself to her husband, It's because that's what she wants to do. And she really believes it's the right thing to do. And she submits herself to her husband because she trusts him. And because she loves him. And because she really believes that he has her best interests at heart. And that is why she willingly submits herself to her husband. Now, to submit, you first have to believe it's the right thing to do. Because God says it in His Word. Now, this is God's Word. This is what God's Word says. We're not concerned about what the world thinks. This is what God's Word says. It's the right thing to do. You want to do it. And you have to trust that one you're willingly submitting yourself to. You certainly can't regard that one with suspicion. If you submit yourself to them, you won't submit yourself to them. If you regard them with suspicion and lack of trust, you love this person you submit yourself to. You believe in them and you submit yourself to them. Now the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's grace, is a thing of submission. Now, the first thing I thought of was the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't a thing to be grasped for. He really was equal with God. And you know, when a woman submits herself to her husband, it's not because she's inferior to him in any way. This is God's way. It's not that He is superior to her. Not at all. God the Son was equal, is equal with God the Father. But you look how He submitted Himself to His Father's will. That is just a remarkable thing to think about, how He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And He submitted Himself to all the Father's will, the death of the cross, the agonies of the cross, all the things that He did. I love to think about the way He submitted Himself to His parents. He became subject to them. You can read about that in Luke chapter 2. He actually became subject to Joseph and Mary, sinful men and women. But because they were His parents, He submitted Himself to them. To think of the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you and I be if the Lord failed to submit Himself to His Father? We wouldn't be saved. And you think of how beautiful the submission of Jesus Christ is. His willing submission to His Father. The way He willingly placed Himself under the law. Now remember who this is. He's the one who made the law. And yet He put Himself under the law. He willingly submitted Himself to His Father. He willingly submitted Himself to the death of the cross. And none of us understands what all that means. The fact that He was made sin and all the things He had to go through in order to save folks like me and you. But oh, the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is able to subdue all things unto Himself subjects Himself. 1 Corinthians 15:28 says, "And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him." I love to think of the subjection and the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful, isn't it? Now, if He submits Himself, shouldn't you and I submit ourselves? He's the great example of submission, and you and I wouldn't be saved without His submission to His Father's will. Now, we submit ourselves. I hope I know something about this. I keep asking myself if I do. I hope I do. We submit ourselves to God. We know it's the right thing to do. We want to do it, and we trust Him. We trust whatever He does. We really do. Do you believe that whatever He does with you is right? And you trust Him. Whatever He does is right. He's too wise to err. He's too kind to be cruel. And whatever He does is right. And we submit ourselves to Him. He's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. As the church is subject to Christ in everything. And I love that statement. The church is subject to Christ in everything. It really is. I'm subject to His will. This is the prayer of my heart. Not my will, but thine be done. I don't want my will to be done. I really don't. I want His will to be done. And I want only His will to be done. And I want His will to reign in me and conquer my will. I don't want my will to be done. I want His will to be done in all things, whatever it is. I don't have enough sense to have any confidence in anything that I will. I want His will to be done. We submit to His good providence. Whatever He brings our way, it's best. It's right. We say with Eli, it's the Lord. Whatever it is, it's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. Whatever He does is right. And we believe that. Aren't you glad for God's providence? He controls everything. The good things, the bad things, the indifferent things, everything is providential. And He controls everything. I love that scripture, the king's heart. Whoever that king is, if he's on the other side of the world, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. And we submit to His way of salvation. And we do so willingly. You know, I love being saved by grace, don't you? I love being saved in a way that Christ gets all the glory and all the honor and none goes to me. I love it that way. I want Him to be that way. I want Him to get all the glory and I want me to get none. We submit to His way of salvation. We submit to the way of salvation by Christ. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's what James said. In other words, humble yourself. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. Now, submitting ourselves to God is seen when we submit to His righteousness. Would you turn with me to Romans 10? Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now this is a pattern for me and you. May God give us this attitude, this thought of heart, where we consider these people who are not saved our heart's desire. And prayer to God for them is that God would save them. You know, I was thinking about Gene Rutledge. I look back here where he's not sitting there now, and I love the man so much, but I remember him saying to me, I want everybody to be saved. And what a blessed attitude. I want everybody to be saved. And I love what Paul says here. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're very religious, but not according to knowledge. I said this a couple of weeks ago. A Christian is somebody who knows something. They've got some knowledge that the unbeliever does not have. They have some understanding. God has taught them something. They know someone that the unbeliever doesn't. Now, if I don't have this knowledge, I'm not saved. Notice he doesn't say these people are saved. He says, I want them to be saved. And I'm praying for them. I bear them record they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not, what's that word? Submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now the only thing that will cause a man to establish or seek to establish his own righteousness before God is when he is ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, that's seen in several ways. First, ignorant of God's righteous character. If I have any idea of God's righteous character, I wouldn't dare come to Him on the footing of my own works. I'd know they're filthy rags. If I see His character. The only way I'll see that, though, is if I see His righteousness. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and their condemnation. Now, listen real carefully. When someone submits to God's righteousness, it's not just a doctrine they're submitting to. They submit to, he's righteous if he damns me. Whatever he does is right. All this arguing about God's fairness and how can it be fair for God to elect one and how can it be fair for Christ to only die for the elect and all those things say, I don't understand anything about his righteousness, because if I understand anything about his righteousness, I won't be saying things like that. I won't even be thinking things like that. They're ignorant of his righteousness and salvation. Aren't you thankful for the righteousness of Jesus Christ that makes us the very righteousness of God in him? We submit, every believer, now this thing of submission, we submit willingly, lovingly to his righteousness. Don't you love being saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ? I love that. And it's, in this thing of submitting to Christ, ladies, wouldn't it be easy to submit to your husbands if they were perfect? Well, we have a husband that is perfect. And I'm so thankful for him. And we submit to his righteousness. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the way I'm dealing with this message, I'm just trying to look at all the scriptures that deal with submission. Verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, for the last two chapters he'd been talking about giving. Giving as unto the Lord, what you give. And he talked about the administration of this service not only supplies the want to the saints, but it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel. That's the same word, submission, subjection, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Do you know submission to God can be seen in how I handle my money? It speaks volumes. I think of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now that's what giving does. It proves the sincerity of my love. It's not what we say, but what we give that proves the sincerity of our love. And he calls giving subjection, submission to the gospel. It says so much about whether I really am in my heart submitted to the Lord. Some would say they love much, but give little. Some say little, but give much. Which do you think is the most accurate barometer? 1 Corinthians 14. Paul had been talking about prophesying or preaching and men preaching. And then he says in verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, all those who have the gift of preaching. But look what he says in verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And he's talking about the scriptures. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Whatever I say must be subject to the written word. And let me say this. How we really submit to the Lord Himself is seen in how we submit to this Word. This is the Bible. This is God's holy Word. And I bow, by the grace of God, I bow to whatever it says regarding all things. And if I don't do that, I'm not bowing to God Himself. How I respond to the Lord God is seen in how I submit to His Word. And whatever I preach, I don't say believe it simply because I'm saying it. See if it's what the Word teaches. You look and see if I'm giving what the Scriptures teach. You see, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's why Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word. God's Word is authoritative. You believe that? God's Word is absolutely authoritative. And whatever He says regarding every subject, whatever subject, That's exactly the way we believe it. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Turn with me to 2 Peter for just a moment. Let me read this passage of Scripture regarding the Word of God. Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power," 2 Peter 1:16, "when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from that excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. James, Peter, and John were there. The other nine weren't. And if I was one of the other nine, I would wish I would have been one of those three, wouldn't you? How I would love to see the Lord Jesus in that light where His divinity burst through His humanity, His face shine like the sun. What an experience. Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." This is more sure than any experience you've ever had. And I've had in my mind some experiences of the Lord when I felt Him, when I tasted Him, when I saw Him, when I knew He was mine, when I knew He was speaking to me and that His favor was toward me. I can remember times where, particularly when I was ill or when I was sick, when I just had this experience of His, but you know what? I'm a whole lot more sure about the Scriptures than I am any experience I had. As a matter of fact, the best thing I can do with any experience I have is forget it. Just forget it. And look to what God says in His Word. This is that more sure word of prophecy. Aren't you thankful for that? It's a more sure word. Whereunto, Peter says, "You do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, into the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation..." How many times have you heard people say, "Well, that's your interpretation"? No, it's not. It's what God says. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," profligacy, "but be filled with the Spirit." Ephesians 5:18. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." What do people do who are filled with the Spirit of God? They submit themselves to one another. That's what they do. They're not seeking to have their way. They're submitting themselves to one another. This is a work of God, the Holy Spirit in a man, when he submits himself to the wishes, the desires of somebody else. May God give us grace to submit ourselves to one another. If I'm not submissive, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans 13. Verse 1. "Let every soul be subject..." And that's the same word, submissive. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, whoever's in authority, from the president right down to your employer, or your mom and dad, or your whoever's in authority, that authority is of God. The powers that be, I don't care what they are, the powers that be are ordained of God. That includes, whoever's in the office of president, respect him. He's the one God put there. You may not agree with everything he does, but you respect him. Whether it's Republican, whether it's Democrat, whoever's in authority, God has placed them there, and they are to be treated with respect. As a matter of fact, respect is such a, oh, I want to be respectful to everybody. I don't want to treat anybody with disrespect. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, condemnation. You break the law, you will be judged by the law. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, submit, not only for wrath, not only because of the trouble you'll get into, but for conscience sake, because it's the right thing to do. Submit to authority. Submit to the authority of the government. Whether you agree with it or not, it's the place God has put you. God has placed you there. And what a blessing it is to live in the country we live in. I'm thankful for that. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? I'm thankful to be here. And I want to submit to all the authority he brings our way. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's something to the wives again. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Be submissive to them. Why? That if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You see, that's a very loud sermon. That's a very loud sermon. What you say to your husband is you really believe what you say you do. When you submit yourself to him, even though you don't think he necessarily deserves it, and he doesn't believe the gospel, but you become submissive anyway. What a sermon that is preached. If any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation, the conduct of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. The fear of God. That's why you do what you do. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What a sermon submission is. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1, the elders which are among you. This is a general epistle, not directed to any one church, but was circulated to many churches. And he's speaking of the elders, that is the pastor. I think the word elder has something to do with spiritual maturity, and a pastor should have spiritual maturity. But he's talking to the pastors at this time. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now that word feed is be a shepherd to the flock of God that's among you. The word pastor and shepherd are the exact same word in the Greek. And he says, be a shepherd. Now what does a shepherd do? First of all, he leads the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. Secondly, he feeds the sheep. Feeds them with the word of God. Feeds them with the gospel. When you come here, you come here to be fed the Word of God. You come here to be fed the gospel. And that's what the pastor's job is to do. It's to feed the sheep. And it's to protect the sheep from wolves. If God has called a man to pastor, he's got some wisdom you don't have, and he can see some things you don't see. If God's called me to pastor, that's the way it is. If he's called any man to pastor, that's the way it is. Now, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Looking out is what all that means. Look at being on the guard, looking out. Not by constraint, not because you are forced to, but willingly, because you want to. Not for filthy lucre, not for a paycheck, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, trying to be some kind of dictator. And that's what a lot of, particularly in the, quote, Reformed movement, the preacher's a dictator and he's a lord over God's heritage. And don't dare do anything like that. I love what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says when it says, obey them that have the rule over you. That could more accurately be translated, be persuaded by them that are your guides. That doesn't mean he tells you to do this and you do it. That has nothing to do with what being a pastor is. Be persuaded by the gospel they preach. Be persuaded by them that are your guides. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And oh, may the Lord enable me. Pray for me. Pray for me. That the Lord would enable me to be an example to the flock. An example in faith, an example in faithfulness, an example in humility, an example in zeal, an example in a forgiving spirit. Oh, and so may the Lord enable, pray for me. I need the prayers of God's people. I think of the responsibility of being a pastor. I'm a man. Am I going to make mistakes? Sure I am. Am I going to make wrong decisions? Sure I will. Pray for me, love me, be loyal to me, forgive me. May the Lord enable me to be a pastor after God's own heart. You're the one that benefits from it. May God give me grace. You pray for me that He'll enable me to be a pastor after His own heart. That's what He speaks of in the Old Testament. I'll provide them pastors after my own heart. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he says, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know in that scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves unto such. Submit yourselves willingly. Now if you believe God has called me to preach, you can do it. And if you don't believe that, I'd go somewhere where you found somebody that you did believe that God had called to preach. But, I mean, this is something you can do willingly if you believe God has placed me here. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I love this next thing he says. Yea, all of you, elder and younger, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. All of you, pastor, members, everybody, submit yourselves one to another. I want to be submissive to you. I better be. That's what submission is. It isn't just one, submit yourselves one to another. And I couldn't help but thinking where he said, be clothed with humility. I'm going to bring up Gene again, Brad. I'm sorry, I can't help it. But was there ever a man you knew that was more clothed with humility than Gene? I just love that so much in that man. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, one other scripture. 1 Corinthians 16. Claire, you brought this passage up to me a few weeks ago, and I told you the wrong book it was in. I said, I think it's in Colossians, but no, it's in 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry, to the service of the saints. Boy, that's a good addiction, isn't it? They've addicted themselves. And this, oh, may every one of us in here have this addiction. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And what does Paul say to do in verse 16? That you submit yourselves unto such. And to everyone that helpeth with us and labors. You know, it's easy to submit yourself to somebody like that, isn't it? Submit yourself to those who have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, in closing, Brother Mahan preached a message many years ago entitled, and I mean this is an old one, this is 35 or 40 years old, but it was entitled, Submission, the Key to Happiness. Now, I don't remember what the text was, but I remember the gist of the message. Submission, the key to happiness. If I am submissive to the Lord, and if I am submissive to all that He calls me to be submissive to, I'm going to be a happy person. If I'm not submissive, I'm going to be unhappy. I'm going to be miserable. Submission is so befitting. If I submit to the Lord, I'm happy. What a place to be. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. That's the only place I am happy. I submit to His way of salvation. I submit to His righteousness. It makes me happy. When I submit to authority, what a blessing it is to me to do so. I'm happy when I do so. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm not thinking this is not right. The only time I'm happy, when I don't submit, that's when I get miserable. That's when I become unhappy. If you have a bunch of people submitting to one another, you're going to have a bunch of happy people, won't you? Now may the Lord give us this spirit of submission. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it's fit. In the Lord. Submission's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And I go back to the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever find it hard to submit to someone? Can you imagine how hard it must have been for Him to submit Himself in some respects? He's God. He's altogether glorious, but it was never hard for Him to submit to His Father. And it was never hard for Him to submit for the salvation of His people. May you and I be truly submissive in the spirit of the gospel. Let's pray.